When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to get in touch with us that way, you certainly can. Howard, happy Thanksgiving, man. How was your weekend?
Oh, man, I ate too much. You know, watched a lot of football. Got to go to see Alabama-Auburn.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, that was down there.
Especially since Alabama won. Good weekend.
It was Alabama crushed it this weekend. Number one, they beat Auburn. The girls' soccer team's like number one in the nation. They won a game, and Alabama beat Duke in basketball.
I appreciate you
wearing... Oh, Carolina. Was it Carolina? Whoever they beat. They beat one of the Blue Bloods.
I appreciate you wearing your Notre Dame hat, even though they had a tough night against USC on Saturday. How'd Little Howard play in that game?
I think he had like three or four pressures, two or three tackles. He had a really good game, considering Caleb was running all over the field away from him.
Yeah.
Outside game, the whole game.
I was joking. We recorded a draft season earlier in the day, folks. Make sure you go subscribe to the Draft Season podcast as we get closer to draft season here, as we keep track of college football a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we were joking that, you know, when those mock drafts come out the day after the 2023 draft, Caleb Williams is probably going to be number one on all those lists, based on what people are telling me.
He could be. I mean, I don't know. It'll be another Oklahoma quarterback.
Right.
Go through it.
He's basically an Oklahoma quarterback, right?
Name the three Oklahoma, two or three Oklahoma quarterbacks right now. Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray.
Yep. Howard's making faces at me for you people listening without any videos.
So but the only one that kind of stands out, but he's really a Bama quarterback, is Jalen Hurts.
That's true. He is really a Bama quarterback. You're right. And he continues to play well.
And he wears Bama stuff all under his gear.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's funny. All right, folks. We don't really have a game to review. We do, but it was kind of like 6 days ago at this point, so I don't want to sit here and spend like a bunch of time on a game that happened 5 days ago. I think everyone's digested the Cowboys game. So I want to do a whole bunch of phone calls today. So let's open up the phones, Pearson, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll just say this very briefly at the start of the show here, Howard, and we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest game so far this year, this week against Washington. Giants a half-game lead in the division. Washington, Seattle, and the Giants are kind of battling out for the last two wild card spots in the NFC right now. Giants do not own the tiebreaker against Seattle because they lost to them head-to-head. Mm-hmm. And now these two matchups come against Washington, this game this week, and then they play them again. Washington has a bye. The Giants play Philly on the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to Washington, which a game will probably be on the 17th, on a Saturday. That game might get moved to a Saturday. You better put that on your calendar, by the way. No. Sorry.
Why do they keep moving these games?
They have five games, and three of them are going to move to Saturday. The Giants are one of the five, and odds are, based on what games are there, it's probably going to get... I don't have any inside information. I'm using common sense. Be prepared to play on Saturday, December 17th, needless to say.
Okay.
Those are going to be two very important games against Washington, determining the tiebreaker to see who can get into the postseason.
Yeah, you know, again, right now, the Giants' whole thing is they got to get people healthy. They need a lot of people healthy. it's going to take some time defensively, offensively, trying to get everybody back on the field. You know what their limitations are. If everybody isn't healthy, you're going to have a hard time doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to check here because Brian Daboll spoke at 12:15, and I was doing a hit for our Syracuse affiliate up there. So let's see. Devery Hamilton, Trenton Thompson, Quincy Roche added to the practice squad. Let's see what else we had from Daboll today. On the injury front, generally said it looks promising, but Azudu, Jackson, and Lemieux will not practice today. That's okay. Adoree Jackson. Not surprised. We knew he'd be out a while.
I think he's going to be out for a minute.
Yeah exactly. But no Azudu, Lemieux, which means Bredesen, who was activated from IR, he could come back and play left guard. It could be Jack Anderson again. Mm-hmm. Or if Luciano's back, would they consider moving Gates to left guard then if Bredesen's not ready to play? That's an interesting question. We'll have to take a look at it. No word on Fabian Moreau from what I can tell here. No, so those are the major injuries.
No Evan Neal.
I think Evan Neal's not practicing, he said. I mean, he's been practicing the last couple weeks, so I would imagine Neal's going to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he's going to be ready, just reading some other quotes here. Daniel Berenger, quote, trending in the right direction. Again, Brian Daboll, I need Lance here to be our Giants injury Brian Daboll translator. That's what he's very good at translating here.
How many weeks has it been for Bellinger? Roughly.
I'm trying to think. Bellinger was hurt. Was it the Jacksonville game Seattle game? It was one of those two. I think it was
It was Jacksonville.
Jacksonville,
it was hot.
Right?
I remember it was hot, yeah.
All right. So Jacksonville. So then he has been out. He's missed four games, but the bye's in there, so it's been 5 weeks.
So he's got one more week.
I mean, I think the bone is healthy enough for him to play. The question is whether or not his vision is good enough for him to play.
Usually it takes 6 weeks. From my son had the same injury, they didn't do the surgery.
He had an orbital, really.
Yeah, and he had 6 weeks. Okay. And the way the doctor explained it was.
Now, Bellinger did have the plate going on his, so I don't know if that changes the timetable. I have no idea.
Again, he says you can do it in 4 weeks, but you're risking your eye.
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that.
You can do it in 5 weeks, you're risking your eye. This is a 6 weeks is the minimum time that we suggest doing it. That's what they said to my son, and that was without the plate. So I don't know if the plate makes it easier for him to come back or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
either.
I would be like, okay, how long do I need to stay out? And I may take one more week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just to be safe.
And Aziz Ojulari cleared to practice this week, too. We'll see if he's in there.
Because also, it's not so much someone poking him in the eye again. The contact alone could re-rupture it.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then you have run into issues. All right, let's take some calls. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, and let's lead off with our lone caller. We have some open lines, folks. Ralph is in Florida. He'll lead us off. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, John. Hey, Howard. How are you guys doing?
What's up?
Very good.
I just want to say, I think a player that's getting really flying under the radar of his bad play is Glowinski. I mean, he has been getting destroyed. I mean, the last 4 weeks, just watching him on film, there's a lot of holes that have been getting blown up on his side of the ball. And I don't think a lot of players, nobody's talking about him.
I think destroyed is a little strong, but he's been inconsistent, and there have been some issues with penetration on his side. I will not disagree with that.
Yeah, he's playing against some good players, too. So part of it, like we knew from, I think, week one or before everything started, that we were like rotating guys in. Okay, we're going to start with these guys. And we rotated a couple of guys in, and then we kind of stuck with the guys after week three. But these were not the original starters.
The one guy that's been in there is Glowinski. He's the one guy that hasn't rotated, right?
Yeah, he's the one been there the longest.
Yeah, I don't think he's even has he. I don't think he's missed a game with injury. I'll check that. I don't think he's missed any games yet.
So he was he the original starter for the season?
Right guard. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I think that for him being a so-called big acquisition on the offensive line to bring stability. I mean, he's really not been that guy. You know, I mean, going forward, just me being a fan, because Howard, you guys are the professionals, you there. Me personally, my movement would be Azudu, Gates, and Bredesen as our interior going forward. Because I mean, if after the Washington game we're not looking for playoffs, then we got to start developing. And I just think that them three building that chemistry for next year will be kind of big.
Yeah, I also got. You also have to take into account that he's played with Evan Neal, and he's played with another right tackle. He's played with a third right tackle,
and different centers.
And he's played with different centers also. So it's just part of the game. Your continuity starts to break down, and if you're even if you're the first guy and been there the whole season, if people around you are moving, you know, I'm not saying that that is an excuse for him, but it all kind of, it's supposed to all fit together.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to be moving a rookie in a zoo to a new position at right guard with like six games to go in the year. I'm not sure if that's necessarily
a recipe
for success.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, John.
He's saying that if we get kind of mathematically eliminated,
oh, okay, I get
then
you.
You should like start trying to build, you know, reconfigure the line the way you may want it, the way you see it. Start experimenting is basically
And
what
I have to look. I'll look it up right now. I'm not positive how much Ben Bredesen has played in right guard in his career. I'll check that out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And also, guys, I'm just saying in this game right here, I mean, I understand Kafka and Dable have done a great job. I just think this game, if we're going to run the ball, we got to get a little bit more creative with the ball plays, with the ball, I mean, the call of the runs, like the Brightwell play, we had Barkley in there, just a little misdirection, just to give Washington something different to look at.
No, but they did. You know? I mean, I think in the third quarter, you had four straight plays where two running backs were on the field, and they tried to use a lot of misdirection on those plays, Ralph, right?
Yeah, no, and I'm just saying, even the Brightwell pickups were big because, again, the defense is keying on Barkley, which I think if you had Breed and Barkley in the field at the same time, it just if you send one in motion running, the defense got to – somebody's got to pick that guy up. So it just loosens up the defense, in my opinion. I mean, guys, thank you. Great coverage, and I'll talk to you guys again. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. I mean, I don't know how many plays you have in your bag with the two backs in there. You can only run that so many times, right?
You could run like there'd be a standard type offense, but one guy's really not the fullback. They'd have to be in split backs the entire time,
or Barkley in the slot with the jet sweep stuff like that.
So
right?
It's a little tougher, you know. But teams are keying on Barkley. You can see it, yeah.
It's funny. I was
and Slayton.
I was looking at those plays in the third quarter when they brought Brightwell in, and what they did. They had Barkley in the slot, and we're running him either around the back for a fake pitch or a fake jet sweep. And Howard,
the entire
you
defense.
See all three linebackers just flow in the same direction Barkley's going. And this is after Brightwell has the ball. They're like, we don't care. Mm-hmm. We just don't want Barkley to get any yards.
Well, here's going to be the deal, though. Like, you know, now that's on tape. Now teams are going to be looking for it. They're going to play their keys the entire time. Now, that also loosens up the defense a little bit because now even though they're playing their keys and they got to make sure Brightwell doesn't have the ball and they got to make sure that Barkley has it and if Daniel's going to keep it or not, that this it just helps them out. Their keys are going to start to change.
Yeah, and by the way, Bredesen, at least in the NFL, has not played right guard. I have to go back to his college numbers to see if he's played any in college. But
okay.
Look, you can be creative, Howard, in the league and – there's only so much you can do that teams haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just come up with new stuff every week. There's just not enough stuff to do new stuff every week.
The way I look at it is the guys up front have to win.
That's what I'm saying. Eventually, your guys have got to be better than the other guys. You can't keep fooling people.
You got to win. Like, and you don't have to be the biggest, most powerful guy, but you got to win. And you got to like move guys a little bit. And if you can't do it, I mean, the one thing you can't do is get pushed back. And that causes problems. The one thing you can't do is like if you're supposed to get up to the second level and you stick too long, can't do it. Like it's just, you know, we were watching the game and a play happened where they pulled Gates from the center position.
Yeah, he pulled right.
And he crushed some poor soul out there. I felt bad for him. I said maybe the guy didn't see him coming or something, but I don't know.
Giants like to pull their center. They actually pulled Feliciano a lot in the game against Detroit too.
But Gates looks like, you know, he just looks really good at what he's doing. I mean, he's made an incredible comeback, and like I'm gonna, you know, champion that kid all the time.
Oh, great dude too,
yeah,
man.
You champion that kid all the time. I'm like, every time I see him play, he's energetic. He's hitting people twice. Like, you know, like he's talking to him.
And, you know, dude, I'm so happy, too, for him because he signed that 3-year contract off his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to him. You know, we had him on the podcast back in July for like 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, I was just talking with him after. I'm like, you know, dude, just take your time. Make sure you come back and not until you're ready. Mm-hmm. He goes, dude, my contract's up. Like, I can't sit on the bench all year. Like, I got to show teams that I can play so I can get a contract. So the fact that he's gotten this opportunity now and is showing people that he can play,
I'm
so happy for the kid. It's great.
I think he'll be back. I mean,
I hope so, too.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think that there'll be a lot of teams, though. They're going to have to do a whole evaluation on him, make sure how healthy, blah, blah, blah. But I think he should. Hopefully, he'll be back if the numbers work.
Yeah, and I talked to him in the locker room after the game, and I'm like, you know, this first start, first time you've played 60 snaps or 50 snaps or whatever since you come back. And he goes, yeah, physically, I feel fine. I feel good.
Yeah, he looked good, too.
No?
Yeah.
Especially run blocking. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. All right, let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He's up next. Hello, Len.
Columbia,
hey,
Maryland.
Guys. What's up, hey, bud? Guys. How you doing?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, good, good. Hey, Howard, first time this season, opportunity to talk to you. So looking forward to this. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Quick comments on the Cowboys game, sure. Guys. If you, you know, not terribly surprised at the outcome, but I have to admit I'm a little disappointed, a little frustrated. Howard, John knows I'm starstruck, so I like stars on the team. And
Len, you're right, you need them.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, you know, looking at the offensive side. You know, the three stars, we just didn't get good games out of them.
Who are the three stars, Len, just so we're clear?
The quarterback, the running back, and the left tackle.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we got to get better games out of our better players.
Now, Len, I will say this, and I wasn't aware of how bad it was. Andrew Thomas was pretty sick last week. I'm not making an excuse for the guy.
Carson beat
him a couple times in the second half. And, you know, I thought Thomas did a great job against him in the first half.
Parsons only got him twice.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? I thought Thomas did you didn't hear Michael Parsons' name in the first half of that game.
I even said at halftime, I'm like, I think the adjustment will be that they will move Parsons away from Thomas.
And they really didn't.
No.
They left him out there, and then Parsons got him twice. And one, by the way, wasn't even an initial one. It was kind of the second effort. He beat him around for the sack, and then he beat him clean on the last one. It was a win. But look, it's going to happen. And the week before, Parsons did that against Christian Darrisaw, who was the Vikings starting left tackle, who's been one of the best left tackles in the league, too. So I wouldn't lose my mind about Andrew Thomas, Len. He got beat twice. He got beat by a great player. It happens. But Daniel missed a few throws that he should have made. Barkley. I don't know who you want to blame for the Barkley thing in the flat, whether it's the throw or the catch, put it on both of them, whatever. Barkley, I agree, he didn't make the play that he had to. Slayton, when Slayton stepped up for you, he made that big play above the X's and O's on the jumping catch in the first half.
And a lot of times some of the passes Daniel was missing on the outside was because they were playing him to run.
And a rusher was in his face.
And they were trying to make him like, okay, if he can't run, don't let him throw it over your head.
And explain how that affects arm angle and accuracy.
So basically what you're watching from a quarterback standpoint, they're doing an RPO, and basically they're pulling the ball out of Barkley's stomach because they can see the guys are bearing down on Barkley. Daniel has the option to run or pass. They bring the outside guy at Daniel hard to prevent him from running, and now they're telling them to jump.
But you're leaving the guy open in the flat because you're attacking the quarterback.
We're gonna make it a tough throw. If he doesn't throw it correctly, if he doesn't tilt his arm out to throw around the guy, it's an interception for a touchdown.
Hey, guys, look, it's interesting how two parties, you guys on one end and me on the other end, can see things differently.
I'm just watching the game.
How so, Len?
You know, these are three guys. You know, I guess the week before the Dallas game, I'm not sure I talked to you, John. I know I didn't talk to Howard that week. But, you know, I said the season starts Sunday. Now it gets pushed to this Sunday, which is okay. But, look. These are three guys that we're counting on. We're going to give second-year contracts to. It's a huge game. Thanksgiving Day, 42 million people going to tune in.
Yeah, but remember this.
And watch it. I mean, come on, you got to play better. I don't know if there's a difference between sick and pretty sick, guys.
Listen. But, there are five.
Let me just finish this sentence, John. If the doctors say the guy can play,
no, that's fair.
Then the guy gets out there and plays.
That's not the way it works.
Howard, well, go ahead.
Yeah, that's not the way. That's not the way it works. If a guy is sick, a guy is sick. If a doctor says you can play and you're sick, you can give it all you got, but you're not going to give all. It's just not all of you. And I'm not making excuses for anybody. This is what I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing the people you're talking about, Thomas. Okay, he had a subpar game for him. The rest of the line didn't play that well. So if the rest of the line isn't playing well, Barkley is hamstrung. Daniel Jones, as much as I love Daniel, he's really throwing to one guy.
And by the way, Len, just so Howard and I aren't arguing that those guys play great games.
I'm just pointing out what's happening in the game. Slayton was being covered by three guys at the end of the game.
And Len, you're right. If you're going to go to Dallas on Thanksgiving and beat them, you need more out of those three. That's fair.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. I mean, these are the long-term contract guys. I mean, if they can't, I was a little frustrated and a little disappointed. I thought our best guys were ready to play their best. Okay.
And Len, real quick, let me just say this, and this is going to sound weird because the Giants led 13-7 at the half. For me, that game was lost in the first half. Dallas has two interceptions and a turnover on downs. So they have three empty possessions. Mm. You're effectively plus three in the first half of that game, but you're only up 6 points.
Yeah, and Dallas has a good defense, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
It was a good thing I watched the game after dinner, not before dinner, because it was a little frustrating. Let me ask you guys this question: If you could get anybody back, what one player would you say would help us the most on Sunday?
Oh, that's an interesting question. If you could wave your magic wand, Howard, and have one guy that's hurt be on the field, I would say
totally healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bellinger.
I would go with Dory Jackson.
I'd go Bellinger.
And I will say this, Howard. I think it's been underrated how much the loss of Bellinger has hurt the run game. Because he was a really good run blocker.
He changes the dynamic because you know that if he's in the game, you can't tell if it's a run or a pass. And some of the plays he's coming off of blocks and chipping and then releasing and catching the ball down the field, it hurts.
And there's a visible difference between him blocking and Cager blocking. Yeah, it's very different.
And then if it's a direct run at him, he's taking on either a defensive end or an outside backer.
Yep.
And he's not giving up ground or anything. He gets beat every blue moon, but he doesn't get beat. So it's a big difference. I think Bellinger would have really affected the offense from the standpoint of the run game would have picked up a little bit. And the run game's fallen off since he's been out.
Yeah, and I think you also noticed the loss of McKinney last week.
I was just gonna ask you guys about McKinney. Did you leave him off the list of people because you think he's long term? And I don't need to know the answer, but I would have said McKinney first off. I mean, I just think
I think it's fair. I think McKinney would be neck and neck with Adoree Jackson. If you want to say McKinney, I wouldn't argue with that.
Okay. Howard, were you leaving McKinney off a list because you thought he was more long-term and really not eligible?
You said who would have, if I could wave my magic wand and I could bring one player back that would affect the game positively.
I got you.
The defense, for the most part, they played their hearts out. I thought that they just, they just had too many snaps. It was a lot of snaps. If you, and a couple plays here and there where the tight end can actually post the guy up and help the run game get started, especially with a tackle that's not really sure, a guard that's shifting in and out, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, Len. I think, and appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah,
good to hear from
you.
Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I think when you look at this a little bit, if the Giants are going to score points, Howard, I mean, I don't want to be too absolutist here.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to run the football.
Yeah, but
and they haven't been able to do it. And I'm getting to saying why I think you make a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think not having Bellinger has really impacted the running game a lot. And
tremendously.
Until you can get that run game going, it's going to be very difficult for this team to move the ball up and down the field and score enough points to win these games.
Tremendously in the run game, and he has tremendously. You can see him being absent really affecting the game, and also in the passing game. And what you don't realize, he hadn't caught that many passes, but the passes he catches are they're very impactful. Where he's catching the ball on the field, it just makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And what the team is lacking, what they've been lacking all year, has been offense. And you take one of the offensive weapons off the field, blocking and receiving, I think that's the – I mean, I won't say that they would have won, but it makes a big difference if it's another person for them to account for.
Hey, Giant fans, make sure you go subscribe to the Giants Huddle Podcast. The podcast features a rapid reaction right after each game with one of our analysts, an episode midweek featuring an interview with a national analyst. This week, we're going to have Jonathan Vilma on. He's doing the game for Fox this
Vilma.
Week, middle linebacker. So that'll be fun. Him and he's calling the game with Kenny Albert. And then on Friday, we have our game preview featuring a long-form interview with a current Giants player. Don't know who we're getting at this week, working on that. Mm-hmm. Bob Papa talks to Brian Daboll, and we'll have an opponent preview with an opposing reporter with Lance Meadow, if he can find his voice over the next couple of days. And
he's just got to look a little lower for it. It's right down there somewhere.
And we also have Papa's perspective coming your way on the Giants Huddle Podcast. He talked to, I think, one of your former teammates, Sean Landetta. Did you have Landetta on your team?
Landetta was on a bunch of my teams.
Talked about the 86 game where he had to punt in like the 40-mile-an-hour winds against Washington in the 86 championship game.
You mean where he missed the punt? Where the ball, that's a Bears game when the ball blew back on his foot.
Man, you're so mean.
It did.
No, I know it did. I'm not saying you're lying.
The wind's blowing so hard.
I'm just saying you're mean for bringing it up.
That's what happens.
No, it happens. It's good. Make sure you go subscribe to the Giants Huddle Podcast and subscribe to the Draft Season Podcast, by the way. We're doing that every couple of weeks. Our next episode should be posting later on today, and then we're going to do another one leading up to the bowl game. So make sure you go check. Talked about your guy Michael Mayer today a little bit on the Draft Season Podcast.
I feel really bad. I don't think some of these guys around college football, they're going to lay out of these bowl games. They're not going to play.
You think?
A lot of them. I think we have the guy on our team that's the example of why they should, but – what do you do?
Who are you talking about?
Jalen.
Jalen Smith. Yeah.
Smith got a really bad injury in the bowl game. And a lot of these guys that are, you know, that are like, okay, well, we're not playing for the national championship.
I'm
about to get drafted. Now, if a guy's not getting drafted, he'll play. But the guys that are about to get drafted, they're like,
And we've seen that more and more. I think, didn't Christian McCaffrey sit out of the Stanford bowl game back in the day?
Not going to the Natty. Like, why am I doing this? I should be getting myself ready for the draft. And it's a long season. I get beat up. It's not like it was prior when it was like 10-game season. Now they're playing like 13 games.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs...
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So
let's go to Marco in Connecticut. He's up next. Hey, Marco.
Hey, John. Hey, Howard. How are you guys?
We're good.
Very good.
Hey, great. I got a question about the defensive line, specifically Dexter, but you could lump Dexter and Leonard into it.
Sure.
I was wondering how, if you guys are concerned at all about the amount of usage these guys are getting. I'm thinking about the depth on the team, and especially at that defensive line, like behind them. And you know, what really jumped out to me, it wasn't this last game with Dallas. I think it was before that. Is that the Texans?
Detroit.
Texans? No, Detroit. It was the Detroit game, and that was like when Dexter, or it could have been Houston, but anyways, Dexter's snaps were way up. And that was the week also, I think Philly lost, and they went out, and then they come back and they get two defensive tackles that week in free agency.
Sue and Joseph.
And I would say... Yeah. I mean, older guys, but guys that can get some snaps. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, what happens God forbid, if one of these guys goes down. And we saw Leonard go down. And now it's escaping me a little bit of, like, how we filled in. I think Mondo filled in a little bit.
Justin Ellis took a lot of those snaps. Yeah, mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think, though, even, like, with the rest of the season still in front of us, any concerns about their usage?
Yeah, look, they've been around 80% of the snaps in a lot of these games, which I think, you know, Dexter's been at 90 a couple times, too. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot for a defensive lineman, especially of that size. But, you know, it's funny. Coming out of that game on Thursday, before I went back and watched it again, I'm like, boy, it seemed like it was a quiet game out of Dexter and Leo. I don't remember mentioning their name much. I don't remember them being in the backfield a lot.
They played well.
Then I went back and I watched this morning. I finally got to it. I watched the defensive film from Thursday's game. Nope, they were good. They were still pretty darn good. So I have not – and if it's not going to be impacted on a short week like that – and, Howard, you always make this point on the sideline. You can tell when one of those two guys aren't in the game.
Yeah. The drop-off is dramatic. So here's what I would say. And again, different world. I played up till 2001. And up to 2001, you did not leave the field. You just didn't. It just wasn't part of the game. You just – if you're in the game, you're in the game.
So, and like, Bruce Smith and Reggie White would play 100% of the
100 snaps. 100 snaps. But they were, like, getting off the field. Like, you're getting stops and you're getting off the field. Defenses didn't play 60 snaps or 70 snaps. It was just like it's like they kept the snaps down because of the way they were playing. Even with the development of the passing game, it just – they couldn't – you couldn't complete enough passes. You couldn't get enough things done. So defenses are in theory, constructed – that way from the defensive line point. Remember, the offensive linemen never leave the field.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, that's true.
And what happens is that people, you know, and this is just me, what happens is that you start thinking, we got to spell these guys, we got to rest these guys, we got to rest these guys, we got to spell these guys, we got to get these guys tired or whatever. I get you changing guys, but if you need to take out a couple breaths or something, give me a couple plays and I'll be right back. I get it. Whole series?
You're not down for that.
If I was playing D-line, you would have to, like, every time somebody went in, he would be feeling a certain kind of way when he looked at me as I was coming off the field. I'm like, yo, dude, I'll be right back. Like, it's just that's the way the game used to be played, and it's changed. All this situational, I get the third down rushers. I get the whatever. But if you're in the game, you got to be in the game. And when you get teams that, well, and the easiest way to do it to wear a team out is because they're giving guys a rest, right? They're rotating guys. That doesn't build a guy's stamina for an entire game. So all I got to do to get to your team is what? Run no huddle. Never substitute anybody. And if I get a long drive going, what happened in the Giants game, I think, that cost them the game against Dallas is Dallas went out in the start of the third quarter and had like a 7 to 8 minute drive. Just methodically kept making plays, kept hitting and bumping, kept doing whatever, and all the way down the field, bam, they score. The Giants offense at that point, they don't need to score. They need an 8-play drive or a 9-play drive.
That was a 14-play, 75-yard drive, 7 minute, 39 seconds elapsed.
Say it again. 14 plays. Yeah. So if your game, you're getting 60 plays, that's a quarter of your game and one part of the third quarter.
That's a good point.
So when you're thinking about, are these guys getting the rest, somebody in that group's got to make a stop.
I mean, how many guys are cramping? Remember, they were falling down?
They were like falling down. At first, I was like, oh, they're just trying to get a break. And then I'm looking at them on the sideline. They start taking guys to the locker room to get IVs. I was like, they're not doing that to fall down. They're done. That's a lot of plays. You got to make stops. That bend but don't break theory doesn't really work. If you run down the field and run 7-14 plays, that's not bend but don't break. They broke you.
Right.
And then when they come back, you have to be able to get off the field. That's the biggest thing. And that's nothing against the defense. They played great for what they were doing, but you got to get off the field. It's got to be a 3-and-out somewhere. It got to be 6-play drives. You're off the field. You got to get off the field. If you don't, that wears and tears on your body.
But, hey, Howard, to John's point, right, that first half when you get two takeaways, you got to do something with it. That's huge part. So where the defense is turning the ball over, you know, those are vital right there.
Yeah, that's early on. They turned the ball over very well. But I think Dallas still dominated time of possession.
Sure.
So if that's happening, that's tough.
Yeah, for the game, Dallas 34 minutes, time of possession. Giants 26. In the first half, do I have the first half number? That was 16-27, Giants 13-13.
Yeah.
13-33, pardon me.
So it's just, it's you know, you think it's just 3 minutes, but 3 minutes is a long time in football because you only play, basically plays a 6 or 7 seconds, and then you line up, huddle, and you do it again. 13 minutes could be a long time.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Let's get a win Sunday.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Back to the phones is Phil in North Carolina. He's up next. Hey, Phil.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, guys.
What up?
My question is regarding offensive formation tendencies, and then I have a follow-up to that. So do you have the numbers in terms of for the season and for the last couple of games, what formation, personnel formation are we in terms of 11, 12, et cetera?
I could check that. Do you want to know what it is for the season first before I do the last few games?
I have no idea.
Yes. All right, I'm going to need a couple minutes. So, yeah.
What's the point?
Why don't you get to your next question or talk to Howard about something while I look that up for you?
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. So Howard, I guess my follow-up to that is that, you know, our deep person or three wide receiving personnel, 11 personnel, we don't have stars out there, okay?
No.
And I think our best, two of our best offensive weapons, you know, Daniel Bellinger is out, but two of our is obviously Saquon and Breida. I think Breida has been underutilized. And so why are we not using more two back options and using either Breida, you know, flanking out as a wide receiver, or Saquon doing the same?
All right, so here's what I got for you, by the way, really quickly. I got 66% of your snaps are in 11 personnel, 19% of your snaps are in 12 personnel, and then you have like 5% in 13, which is one back, three tight ends, and then another 5% in 21, which is two running backs and one tight end, and then you got a bunch of, like, you know, small things.
So most teams are built around, like, what would be presumably 21 personnel, one tight end, two backs, is the base form of offense.
Back in the day, yeah.
I'm getting ready to go.
Sorry, didn't mean to jump on you.
But today is either today fullbacks don't really exist that much. You try to use a tight end to play that position if you can. So you get some 12, you get some 11, and you're trying to figure out. You play 11 so you can spread guys out to give your running back a chance to, quote-unquote, get up the field. And if you play 11 personnel, that usually brings in a smaller guy into the game. So when you pull guys in tighter to block, they should be a matchup that they can win. That's kind of the theory behind the offense around the league, not just with the Giants. The Giants are had two backs in the game this week. They had probably a package of two back plays, but the two back plays only really come into effect when, as John said earlier in the broadcast, every linebacker, even the referees were like walking towards Barkley when he got into the game. I mean, it's just you got to hope. Well, hopefully Daniel will keep it and run. The outside guy was running directly at Daniel to make sure that he was not going to run the ball or had an option to run the ball. So, you know, you can game it up to stop the RPO. But two backs, it worked the first time when Saquon went in motion. It worked the second time when Saquon went in motion. And the third time, they tackled Breida on the line of scrimmage.
And the last three games, I just looked it up to give you another number on this. This is basically since Bellinger has been hurt, the number of 12 personnel has dropped all the way down to just 7%.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that guy in there that can really do both things for you. And, you know, 11 personnel has jumped all the way up to 77%. And for a team that doesn't have a ton of wide receivers, to have three of them out there that much is a product of you not having your starting tight end to play more of those 12 personnel.
So you're doing all you can with the personnel that you have. That's what they're doing. I mean, I wish they could do more with it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, okay, thank you, John. That was excellent stats. So it's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, we're not strong, as you said, in the three wide receiver set. And why aren't we, you know, we can run the two back with one as an optional pass receiver, in essence. And I don't understand why we're not doing that.
Yeah, but do you think Breda and Brightwell would be better receiving options than whoever your third receiver is?
I think in a limited route package, yeah, because they're not going to, with two backs, it's harder for the linebackers to cover them both. Someone's going to have to move.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're assuming that teams are going to get out of their nickel and dime personnel packages because two running backs are back there. I don't think they are. I think they're just going to stick with their personnel, and then you're going to have a defensive back on one of the running backs, and then that really doesn't play to your advantage very well.
And the reason why that it wouldn't happen with the Giants because neither of the backs are fullbacks.
Right. So it's not like you can go to that power running game to take advantage of it.
Yeah, so that's one part. But the part defensively, you have to think of it like this. If neither guy's a fullback, then I don't need a linebacker in here to try to match up with him.
Right.
So I'm going to stay in the personnel I'm in. And if he runs out there, I can shield him with a corner or even a safety, or the weak side linebacker can almost get out there in some cases. So, and Saquon catches the ball well. Breida catches the ball well. But they're not like these super polished route runners that can go out there and just wreak havoc.
Yeah, there's a reason there isn't one team in the league that has two pure halfbacks in there for 30% of the snaps.
The closest thing to it, and they're not both halfbacks, but the closest thing to it would be San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that's, with
you
McCaffrey.
You check the fullback, though.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more of the
Mitchell. Yeah,
I'm thinking Deebo Samuels. Sorry. And Deebo Samuels and McCaffrey. Right. That's really the closest thing to it.
I mean, Zeke and Pollard are out there together sometimes, but it's only like a half dozen plays a game or something like
that.
It's
not even that many.
Probably not.
No. So it's like it's just hard to – like that guy – basically, when you do that, you basically eliminate one guy's actions almost. Now, if the guy can split out and run routes and was dangerous with a route runner, then it makes a big hit.
Saquon could be used in that way, right, a little bit?
He's not a polished route runner.
Or receiver of the football.
I just know he's not a polished route runner. If you're a polished route runner, things look differently when you're running routes, and guys have to react to you differently. And he's been working on that, and he's gotten better since his rookie year. But a polished route runner makes guys have to do stuff. When you as gifted as he is and as balanced as he is, if he was like super polished route runner, guys wouldn't be able to stay with him.
And by the way, and that kind of shows you, and Phil, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Why the San Francisco combination is so fascinating, because both McCaffrey and Deebo can be the wide receiver or the runner.
Remember, McCaffrey's dad is Ed McCaffrey. Oh. Great receiver, was for the Giants, but then went to Denver. Good player. Probably, worked with his boys in the backyard for 1,000 times throwing patterns and routes. And
I mean, Christian McCaffrey could be a slot wide receiver.
Yeah,
in the NFL.
And 100%. Yeah.
He absolutely can. Like, and he wouldn't miss a beat either. He'd be like a really good one right away.
What's the kid's name down in New Orleans?
Kamara?
Yeah. Polished route runner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 100%. I'm with you. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hey, Giant fans, big game this weekend. And it's the legacy game. It's our second legacy game at MetLife Stadium coming up on December 4th. And they're playing Washington in a game that could determine who goes to the playoffs. The Giants will be wearing their throwback uniforms from the 80s and 90s. Howard looked very handsome in those uniforms during his career.
Very funny.
The stadium will be branded in throwback designs, red end zones. You'll have an exclusive collectible pennant for the first 30,000 fans. Limited tickets, believe it or not, are still available. So visit Giants.com/tickets to secure your seat today. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Corey in Phoenix. He's up next. Hey, Corey.
Corey.
Hey, I'm going.
What's
How
up?
How you doing?
Great.
I was at the game last on Thanksgiving. Wasn't a pleasant experience. I thought it was a great game plan by Mike Kafka, but it was executed horribly for at least 90% of the game. And I've been to several other Giants Cowboys games and Yankees Red Sox. It was by far the most disrespectful vibe I've ever gotten. The minute I walked into the stadium, the first thing I saw was a memorabilia stand with a Parsons and LT jersey next to each other, like they're in the same category or something.
Is this Paul DeTino on the line?
That's funny. Go ahead. Leave him alone. Go on with your thing.
We were
we were plus three, and it got to the fourth quarter. They had their foot on our necks, going up two scores, and just it was bad. But my real point is we need to improve the offensive environment, because the offensive environment makes the team, not the makes the way the offense plays, not the quarterback. Because a lot of this is going to go to Daniel Jones' stuff. So that's why I'm saying this stuff. Like, the Bucs are 27th in total offense this year. They were second last year. Green Bay, they were in the top 10. They're 20th this year. The Dolphins were 22nd last year. They're 6th this year. The Giants went from 31st to 19th. We can go from 19th to 8th if we make the right moves. I think we should bring in Odell this year. And then,
Corey, how do you know? How do you know Odell can even run well right now?
I mean, if he can play fully healthy, do it this year. But if he can't, I don't know. But I haven't.
Hey, look. If your overall point is that the success of the quarterback is in many ways determined by what's going on around him, Howard and I wouldn't argue with that point.
Nope. You have to remember that the team's constructed predominantly from 3 to 4 years ago, and they're living out all those contracts and all some of those players. Some of the players are good players. The Daniel Joneses, the Saquon Barkleys,
Andrew Thomas.
Dexter in that group. Yeah. So, but what happens is that I tell everybody when people ask me how do teams get them, like you have to draft well. You have to draft well. And the reason why you have to draft well is because you play all this time under these rookie contracts before you have to start giving out money. When you start signing a bunch of free agents, money gets tight. And once money gets tight, you're gambling on your future. And the Giants signed a lot of free agents the last few years.
And the Giants are soon going to have to pay some of the good players they draft over the last 3 or 4 years, too.
Yep, they're coming up. So everybody's all this is coming up at the same time.
We should cut Galladay and draft a receiver in the second round.
Nah, but Corey, that wouldn't have helped you.
It's money against the cap.
You wouldn't have saved money if you cut Galladay. The dead money would have been the same. It just would have been in this year instead of this year and next year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's what the.
Thanks for the call, pal.
Thank you. So for people who are like, oh man, you got to be able to fix it. It's not an easy fix. Joe Shane knew that when he came here.
Yeah. Well,
Joe looked at it and he said, okay.
There's a reason they were hiring a new general manager.
Right. I see what's happening. Okay, we're going to be it's a reclamation project. You know, of how you're going to do things. The good players you brought in, and especially ones you drafted, their contracts are coming up soon.
Hey, look, and it's Thanksgiving, so it's appropriate I use the expression, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This was always a gravy year.
Yeah.
This was a gravy year. Like, this was not the year where you were trying to compete. This was the year where you were trying to do the best you could as you cleaned up the roster.
Yeah, and you know, as we see guys like, that's why they don't have a top flight, no offense to the receivers, that's why they didn't bring a top flight receiver in. They couldn't afford it. That's why they didn't bring a top flight whatever in.
Cornerback. That's why they had to lose James Bradbury.
Yeah, you can't afford everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford everybody because of the contracts and whatever, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, 201-939-4513. Go download the Giants streaming app, Giants TV. It brings original video content and game highlights on demand and direct to Big Blue fans. Giants TV is free on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And the Giants mobile app. By the way,
question.
Yes.
Real question.
Yes.
Is Micah Parsons at the same time in his career as LT? Who has the better career so far?
Well, they didn't keep track of sacks in LT's rookie year.
Okay.
So, but I think Paul. I actually wish Datino was here.
Yeah.
I think he 13 maybe in his rookie year. LT 15 maybe.
13 sacks. They can't go back and look at it. No,
they have. They've counted them. It's just not officially in the
not official
books.
Number. Okay.
I think probably sack number wise, they're probably in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. So like, I'm curious why the Paul keeps having this. I just know about this kid. As long as this kid's healthy, this kid could, like, the way the league is designed now, there's no way that he won't have more sacks than LT.
Do you remember the old Converse commercial when Larry Johnson came into the NBA and you had Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, like Dr. Frankenstein over the table and they're building the guy?
Yeah.
And, oh, it's Larry, Johnson, get it, the combination of two guys.
Yeah.
And I make that joke because you could – I'm just putting you on Paul DeTino's mind here. I hope you survive the journey.
No.
You could take the DNA of Reggie White and Bruce Smith and Derek Thomas and pick another pass rusher that you love that was the best. Take anyone you want. You could put them into one human being and create like the Captain America super soldier version of like pass rushers. Paul DeTino would still be insulted that that person was compared to Lawrence Taylor.
That's funny.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, he would be.
And again, I'm not saying Micah Parsons...
super soldier.
And again, I'm not saying Micah Parsons is as good as Lawrence Taylor, but... And it's only second like year said, of his career. He hasn't year, done enough. Yeah. 100% correct.
We hope that he's not.
To quote... look, this is Carl Banks, who played with Lawrence Taylor. Mm-hmm. Who knows Lawrence Taylor better than Carl Banks?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, okay? Mm-hmm. Carl has not compared Micah Parsons to Lawrence Taylor, but no one has more respect for how well Micah Parsons plays than Carl Banks. He calls him Micah Problems. That's his nickname for him. He loves Micah Parsons.
He's a good player. Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Run and pass. Good player.
Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Jonathan Westchester. Jonathan, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Very good.
Pleasure to speak with you both. So I wanted to talk a bit about the Giants schedule. Actually, one point about the 2023 schedule. I know no one's focusing on this yet, but I was just looking at it, and the Giants play the AFC East next year. So they'll be heading to Buffalo. Dable and Shane will be going back to Buffalo, and the Jets are going to be playing a home game against the Giants. I think it's also the Pats at home and the Dolphins on the road. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I believe the Giants also play the NFC West next year, if I'm not mistaken. Correct? Yep.
I think that's right. So that's one
tough
thing.
Schedule next year. Needless to say, it's not easy.
And then regarding 2022, John, I know you were talking a little bit earlier about the flexing of games. A few questions on that. So, especially, if you're going to take young kids to the game, it makes a big difference, 1 o'clock versus 8 o'clock. My understanding is that the NFL has to announce the flex no later than 12 days before game day, maybe other than the last week. Is that right?
I believe for the Eagles weekend, for December 11th, I believe the NFL must make that announcement today if the Giants game is going to move from 1 o'clock. And unless, Pearson, I've missed something, I do not believe we've seen that announcement yet. So we should know today, I believe, but we have not seen that yet.
Please don't move the game.
I wouldn't hold your breath, Howard. I think it's very possible.
I'm totally with Howard on that.
Just FYI, the reason it might move, right now the Sunday night game is the Chiefs. Ooh, Patrick Mahomes. But they're playing the Broncos. Ugh. So I think there's a chance NBC might gobble up Giants-Eagles. But we'll see. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
The failed Russell Wilson experiment.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And can they flex from a Sunday to a Saturday night, or only Sunday to Sunday later in the day?
Well, the NFL announced ahead of time for the weekend of the 18th, the Washington game, that's right now on the schedule for the 18th. The NFL, before the year, very transparent about it, took 5 games on the schedule that weekend and said 3 of these 5 games are going to be played on Saturday. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Well, so
that's because the college bowl season is not really in play.
I think there's only a couple bowl games on the 17th.
Probably small games and stuff.
Yeah, I was actually looking at that for draft season today.
So they're trying to capture that open Saturdays as best they can.
Correct. So those are the two. Those are the only. And then the last week of the year against the Eagles, that could also potentially move to Saturday if there's playoff implications. Odds are the Viking game is going to stay at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve, just based on the other games that week, because. It can't move to Sunday night on Christmas. It can't move to Saturday night, pardon me, on Christmas Eve. It can't move to Sunday.
It's been a short week.
And 4:25 is Eagles-Cowboys. They're not moving that game.
Yeah, okay.
So Giants-Vikings should stay at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So I would keep an eye today on Twitter and the internet to see if the Eagles game moves. I would expect Washington and Giants on the 18th to be played at some point on Saturday. What time on Saturday? I don't have the answer to that either. That we'll have to wait and see. I'm guessing that'll either be probably the night game or the 4 o'clock game on that Saturday, if I had to guess.
There's going to be two games on Saturday, you're saying?
Three.
Three?
There's going to be a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 8 o'clock on Saturday, the 17th of December.
They are really capturing that day.
capturing the day or capturing the
same
the
thing.
Scratch?
That's how you capture it. All right.
and I would not expect the game on January 1st against the Colts to move from 1 o'clock. I would not expect that to move.
Okay.
Right. Very good. Thank you, guys.
No problem, Cole. 201-939. Thank you, Jonathan. Charlie in Washington. He'll wrap us up today. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Hey, Howard.
Wait a second.
Charlie
Washington.
Talking about Washington.
Oh. I was so excited that it was a new caller.
I'm like,
Charlie. Not.
I'm like, wait a minute. That's not the same Charlie.
is Charlie like sending you stuff in the mail, Pearson, so you try to confuse me so you get him on the air?
It may have slipped me some...
lobsters?
Yeah.
Some lobsters. Guys.
Hey guys.
Hi, John.
Hey, look.
Happy Thanksgiving,
this
buddy.
Game, hey, same to you. Same to you, Howard. That's yep. Your fam.
Thank you.
Hey, Howard, join me on one of my spaces. I'd love to have you come on. Everybody would love to hear your comments.
What are you beating on, though, Charlie? Who are you beating down?
Who do you think he's beating on his Twitter spaces?
Oh, it's like, you're talking about the Giants and stuff?
Yeah, of course. Every weekend on a Saturday afternoon when I'm off or I'm traveling, I get the little message from Twitter on Charlie. Oh, join me in my Twitter space. Charlie, there is a better chance of me being named head coach of the Giants this week than me joining one of those Twitter spaces on a Saturday where I don't have to work. I love you to death. It ain't happening, bro.
You're going to be the new Jeff Saturday?
Hey, look, this is the pivotal game, all right? Just like Paul Simon said, if we lose this game, we're slip-sliding away. Just like War said, slipping into darkness. And just like Clearwater Revival said, a bad moon is going to be right.
Wow, you're just dropping song references, Charlie. I'm actually pretty impressed. Maybe you should do a Twitter Spaces about music instead of the Giants.
The 70s, rolling out.
Hey, look, if we lose this game, you know, we're not going to beat Philly. Then all of a sudden we're 7-6. And then we're going to come back and go to Washington to try to beat Washington when they just beat us at home and we had 9 days off. All of a sudden we're 7-7.
Can I ask you a question, Charlie?
Game. Yeah, just quit now.
Can I ask you a real quick question? Mm-hmm. Did you expect to be in this position before the season started, Charlie?
No, I expected this to be a 500 below team, which we're going to end up being, Howard.
Well,
just
keep
watching.
So if they find a way to win a couple games, I don't look down the thing, and they're above 500. Would that be what? Would that make you happy or upset?
9-8, Charlie. Would that make you happy? 9-8.
Well, look, I want a quarterback in the draft. So I the more games we lose, I think it's the best for us.
Charlie, that ship has you ain't getting Bryce Young, bro. Like, you could lose every game the rest of the year by a bajillion points. You ain't getting Bryce Young. Like, he's going one.
I don't want Bryce Young.
I love Bryce, but he's going to have to put some meat on.
He's like the Lance Meadow of college quarterbacks.
And I'm not big on the kid from Ohio State.
Yeah, honestly, this quarterback class, it's gotten less pretty as the season has gone along.
It's just worn out. And the kid that should have been number one just hurt his knee, Hooker from Tennessee.
But I like the guy Levis from Florida State or Florida.
Anthony Richardson?
Richardson.
He's very raw, Charlie. He's very
–
I almost think he should go back to school, man.
If he wants to be in the first round, he should go back to school.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to be a second day or maybe even a third day quarterback.
You think so? I think he's going first, later in the round, a middle. And then you get Tyrod Taylor to play a bunch of games, and if he's ready, you throw him in.
Now, here's what I can see, Charlie. If a team for Richardson, I could see a team at the end of the first round just because they want that fifth year on him to develop him, maybe. But I think that's...
Who's the kid in Tennessee right now?
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Richardson is probably a little bit more, you know, he's bigger in stature.
Second round, maybe.
He's not dissimilar. Actually, it's funny you said that. I made that exact comparison on the draft podcast we did earlier today.
I'm not beating on him or anything. I only watched a few games with the kid playing.
No, he's very talented.
He's very fast.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so I think people confuse speed with, you know,
being a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can develop a quarterback. Look at Lamar. Lamar is developing into a really good pocket passer, but he still has the ability to run. I don't know if everybody can do it.
And Richardson is nowhere near the thrower that Lamar was when he came out of Louisville.
And that's what I'm looking at. So, Charlie, mm-hmm. though, if you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out if he could be your guy, you're just going to put a faster running quarterback in the game.
He's also not the thrower Cam Newton was when Cam Newton came out.
Hey, look, I trust Kafka and Shane, and Brian, because they know what a elite quarterback looks like. They mm-hmm. were with him. And so whoever they want and whoever they go get, I trust them that they know what they're looking at,
so
because
Charlie,
they know Josh Allen and they know Mahomes.
Are you telling me you're rooting for the team to lose so you get a higher draft pick?
Yes,
is that
is.
Where we are right now? I want to get down to the nitty gritty here. Is that what you're saying, bro?
Tell your fans that, Charlie. I know you have fans.
Damn,
tell your fans.
Great, I am.
Oh, Charlie's the tank commander. Charlie's the tank commander. Seriously?
Hey, look, I want a real quarterback. I don't want Pinocchio.
Yeah, but Charlie,
that's what we have right now.
You could lose every game the rest of the year. You're still not even getting the top 10 pick. So why don't you want to make the playoffs at this point, man?
You can still move up. If we're 12, if we're 12 or 13, we can move up.
I'm not having this conversation. You're having this conversation.
Well, he's having the conversation. He's dragging me into it. It's not my fault.
Hey, listen, all you have to
hey,
think, all
you got,
if I was building a team, Charlie, you could not be my GM.
Charlie, there were four. There were four. Hold on, Charlie. There
are this all up.
Charlie, there are 14 NFL teams with four wins or fewer right now. With six games to go, the chance the Giants finish with a worse record than any of those 14 teams is fairly slim.
We could end up, I think we're going to end up 8-9. And so we're going to be right around 13, 14, something like that.
Eight and nine will put you around 16, FYI.
All right, 15 or 16. You can jump up to 5 and get your guy, or 7 or 8 or 10.
Why are we having this conversation? I get, Charlie, God bless you. Goodbye. Thank you. Why are we doing this? Why did I let myself get sucked in? It's my fault. So this
is the thing. You're trying to build your team. You're trying to accumulate as many draft picks as possible. You have a lot of players to fill. You got a lot of contracts to try to figure out. But you need players. The thing I've been saying over and over, and this is for Charlie, even though he's not on the line. The thing I've been saying over and over, you need to draft players. If you don't have a lot of players that you drafted, you cannot continue to grow your team. Every time you sign a free agent, you use up a big pool of the money, and hopefully they're going to do good for you. Hopefully they're going to be great. Hopefully you're going to go to the playoffs. But if you don't have a huge draft class, like you're seeing teams suffer from it now that were so great last year. The Rams won the Super Bowl. They said out loud, who needs draft picks?
At least high draft picks. They have a bunch of mid-late rounders.
We're good. We'll be all right. We'll be fine. One free agent leaves. Two free agents leaves.
A couple guys get hurt.
And then it's like, ruh-roh.
Uh-oh. Now we're like the third worst team in football.
Yeah, ruh-roh.
And by the way, and now you know, we'll trade our first. Right now, do you know where they'll be picking the draft next year? Do you know where they'd be picking?
Third.
So the Lions now have the third pick in the draft from that Jared Goff trade.
So you traded away all your future. You got your Super Bowl. Congratulations.
And by the way, I'm sure they take the trade again because they got their Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the coach is trying to figure out how to retire. He's like, well, been a good run. Like, where you going, dog? Like, no, I got us a Super Bowl. I'm out. Like, everybody's trying to figure out how to get in or out of that situation. There's no getting out. You without
no getting out.
I don't know how many first round picks they gave away.
They're capped. I think this is their last year without a first round pick, I think.
But that's sad. So yeah, so that's the kind of thing that you're like, you don't, unless there's a guy who is a can't miss. When's the last time we saw a can't miss?
And by the way, did you see, by the way, you want to laugh? And I'll answer your question in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Rams, actually, this is the last year they don't have their first-round pick. So they have their first-round pick in 2024. But I was going to laugh. Did you know they apparently offered, like, 2 ones for Christian McCaffrey? I'm not even joking. They were, like, 3 and 6. And they also offered a couple ones, I think, for Brian Burns, the pass rusher from Carolina.
So
according to reports.
Yeah, so again, the staff probably won't be there in a couple years. If they have another bad season,
you're gonna have a few lean years out there.
Yeah,
now.
So the staff's gone. All these people started to fall out, and then they started looking at the GM. He might fall out, and you don't have any first round picks till like 3 years down the road. That's just not the way to build your team. It's just not. You can't afford to pay everybody.
And again, look, I get it. You're worried about picking first or second instead of fifth or sixth, and that's important to you for draft position. I get the theory on that, at least.
Again, I'm going to ask it out loud.
But
give me the last can't-miss player that panned out.
Nick Bosa.
And he was drafted number one overall?
Yeah, Myles Garrett.
Okay. That's two. Both of them defensive ends.
No, not quarterbacks. Right? No, not quarterbacks. 100%. Like Trevor Lawrence. Do we know yet with Trevor?
Does he look like a can't miss right now?
No, absolutely not.
Give me another.
No, quarterbacks are hard.
Quarterbacks are impossible.
Quarterbacks are hard. They're hard.
When I say impossible, impossible.
I mean, look, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were taken before Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray was the first pick.
Josh Rosen was picked ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. The way I look at it, and I tell people this all the time, Peyton Manning was considered one of the best, if not the best, quarterback to ever play. The best quarterback to ever play was drafted in the sixth round.
Right. And how about this? There were a number of teams that made a legitimate argument for why you should take Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Leaf was a better athlete at the moment.
But that's what makes drafting and finding a quarterback so hard. Yeah. When you can have that conversation, like Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning, and it was a real conversation, and then you see the trajectory of those two careers, it just shows you how hard it is.
Let's say if Ryan Leaf went to the Colts, would he have been a better player?
It's a great question.
Don't know. And Peyton, if Peyton would have went to the Chargers? I don't know.
Kevin Gilbride would have gotten to coach Peyton Manning. That would have been fun.
Well, I'm assuming, and this is me assuming out loud, I'm assuming the Ryan Leaf thing is why Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers.
I think instability in the front office would be a kind way to put it.
Yeah. And they drafted Ryan Leaf.
All right. We got a little out of bounds here. Howard, good stuff. It was fun, man. I missed you.
All right. I miss you too, bro.
For Howard Cross, I'm John Schmelk. We're back tomorrow, 12:30, Big Blue Kickoff, to Tino and Salzburg, and we'll be with you all week. We'll be back with you all week long. We'll see you next time. Adios.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.